All right, Timo, say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Samech Hey, 65. We are picking up Samech Dalet Amud Beis 64b, the second wide line. So a lot to do today. Really beautiful Gemara. So it says the Gemara, Ulaman Dar Mechad Begana Vechava Toin Tainas Gana. So we'll say, we're just going to finish up this sugya, Amir Tzashem. So remember again, we spoke about, there are two psukim that speak about kefal, that speak about double payment. So the shaila we've been having up until now is how to darshan those two psukim. What do they refer to? So the Gemara says, Ulaman Dar, according to the opinion that says, Chad Begana Vechad Betoin Tainas Gana, that one pasuk refers to the Ganav himself, one pasuk refers to a shomer that claims the item was stolen, to teach that both of these individuals are subject to the laws of kefal. The nafka le ganov mehasam, and therefore he learns out ganov from the source we mentioned yesterday. The nafka le ganov mehasam from the pasuk. Bishlamay me matzeti matzelich edurav bari eloi. Suppose say if you use. Remember again the discussion the idea we discussed yesterday was he matzeti matze. What do you do with it? See, if you use himatzeti matze like Rava Bar Ahiloi, remember again, Rava Bar Ahiloi used himatzeti matze to teach me the concept of moda biknas putter. The idea is that if the shomer goes ahead and lies, and then ultimately admits that he lied, that he stole the object, then halacha lemaisa again he's going to be putter, and that is true. What? That is true even if witnesses came afterwards. If witnesses came after his admission, he would still be putter. So the Gemara says, Abal kolhani prati lamali, but why do I need all of the other specifics in the pasuk? Kedatana de Rabbi Shmuel. So we'll say this goes in accordance with Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, kol parsha shenem rav nishnis, lo nishnis al adav shenis chadishpa. Because the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel say any pasuk that is repeated was only repeated for something that was nischadish, for something ultimately again that was introduced, that was novel. I ve'ema ganav atzmo b'shvua. So we'll say, what's the novelty here? So I might have thought that even a ganav should only have to pay kefel if he first took a false shvua. Meaning, let's say the ganav was caught, and then he said, I didn't steal anything. He swore to that effect. And then I would think, and then he's found out to be lying. That's what I would have thought would have been the case where he'd have to be kefel. Lo, sagadayit chadisan yo Rabbi Yaakov omer, shnayim mishalim shelo b'shvua. Because Rabbi Yaakov says, the pasuk says, you have to pay kefel even without a shvua. After Omer Shalom B'Shvuah or El B'Shvuah, so you say without a Shvuah, maybe it means no, only with the Shvuah. So Amrit Lo Kach Haya. So we answer to that, that is not the way it is. So we'll say, that is a very interesting answer for the Gemara to give. So the Gemara says, I would have thought that maybe you only have to pay kefal when what? When ultimately the individual has taken a Shvuah. To which the Gemara answers, no, that's not the way it is. To which the Gemara says, My Lo Kach Haya. What kind of answer is that? No, that's not the way it is. Amar Abaye, lo lichtov rachmana shnayim mishalim biganov. So had the Torah not said shnayim mishalim, had not spoken about kefal by a ganov, v'leisi b'kavachom mitoin tainas ganov. And I would have thought, Rabbi say, even if the Torah did not teach me the obligation of kefal by a ganov, but would have just taught me the obligation of kefal by toin tainas ganov, I could have learned that from a kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? So when it comes to a shomer, remember the shomer, the object came to his hand in a permissible fashion. And yet what? If he steals it, he's obligated to go ahead and pay kefal. Ganav atzmo de beisura asaliyade. So we'll say a ganav himself, where again the object comes to his hand in a prohibited state, lo kol shekein, all the more so again he should have to pay kefal. Ella, shnayim yisharim because of Rachmana v'ganav atzmo lamali. If that's the case, why does the Torah have to speak about kefal by the ganav himself? Why would it not have just been understood? Da'afilu shelo b'shvua, to teach me that's what Rabbi say, that a ganav goes in and pays kefal, even what? Even without a shvua. Meaning, again, Rabbi say, as opposed to the case of the shomer, where the shomer only pays kefal if l'maisa, again, he's first taken a shvua that he did not steal the object, then discovered to have been lying, that does not apply to a ganav himself. Ganav will go ahead and have to pay kefal even in the absence of a shomer. To which the Gemara says, v'hai imhi matzei l'achiyu da'asa. Rabbi say, so we just said before that himatzei timatzei is used for the drasha of Rava Bar Ahiloi. And that drasha taught me that if the ganav is moda biknas, if the ganav is moda, if he admits that he stole, then remember we have a principle, motive, and whenever you admit a fine, which kefal is, then you are potter from that fine. So Rabbi Bar Eloi said that even if the guy went ahead and admitted the fine, and subsequently witnesses showed up, he's still going to be potter from the knas. So ultimately, says the Gemara, but is that true? Is that what we use himatzei for? But after all, so the Gemara says, Hami Barley, we need himatzei for something else. Lechidisanya, we need it for the following. Yado, in the Ela Yado. So we'll say the Torah says Yado. This is talking about in himatzei timatzei biyado. I will say, if let's say we find the stolen object in the hand of the ganav. So I only know, in the Ela Yado, I only know that the ganav has to be kefal if what? If what? If you actually find the object in his hand. Gago, chatzero, karfifo minayin. We'll say, what happens if I don't find the object in his hand, but instead, I find it in his chatzer, I find it in his backyard, I find it in his house. How do I know that he's still subject to the laws of kefal? Talmud lomar, im himatzei timatzei mikol makom. Because the pasuk says, himatzei timatzei, meaning himatzei, wherever you find the object. So wherever you find the object, ultimately, again, the ganav will be subject to kefal. So the Gemara says, imkein, well, if that's the case, and I will say, so we have a kasha. So the Gemara wanted to say that beforehand, we learned himatzei timatzei to teach me, mode biknas pater, that if I admit a penalty payment, I am exempt, even if witnesses came along afterwards and said that I'm chayiv. So now we're saying, but himatzei timatzei teaches me that a ganav is chayiv kefal, if the object is found, not just in his hand, but what? Wherever it'll be, wherever it's found in his property or on his person. So which one is it? Imke lemakra o himatze o timatze timatze. So we'll say, if the pasuk was just coming to teach me that the ganav is chayav for kefal, wherever the object is found on his person or in his property, let it use the same lotion of himatze, himatze, or timatze, timatze. Midishanikra, I will say, why is it that it says himatze timatze? Why use two different words? Shmamina tarti. To teach us, I will say that from that phrase we learn two lessons. What are the two lessons? Lesson number one, like Rava Bar Ahiloi, namely that what? Mode the knas potter. Even if witnesses subsequently came along and testified that the person committed the particular crime, that's lesson number one. Lesson number two, a ganav will be chayev kefal no matter where the object is found, whether it's found in his hand, on his person, or ultimately in his property. Good. So it says the Gemara Gufa. Amarav, Karen, Ke'in Sheganav Tashlimikis. Karen Shein Sheganav. So we'll say now we're actually going to come to a very interesting discussion, which has to do with how we evaluate payment. How do we evaluate payment? So Rav says, both say, when it comes, now what we're going to see, by the way, now obviously, this is a fundamental shayla, because this deals in situations where there's a fluctuation in the value of an item between the time that it was stolen and between the time, ultimately, again, that it is recovered. So the Gemara is going to discuss now, how do you account for those price, for those value fluctuations? So Gufa, Amarav. Karen Kain Shagandav. So when paying back Karen is principal. So when assessing the principal amount, so that we look at the value of the item, of the object, at the time it was stolen. Tashlume Kefel, Vitashlume Arba Vachamisha. But Rabosai, for Kefel, which is the double payment, Arba Vachamisha, which is the payment when you steal a sheep or an ox, and you steal it, you slaughter it, and you sell it. That's the 4 and 5 times penalty payment. Kishas ha'amada bedin. So we'll say for kefal and for arba v'chamisha, we assess those amounts based on the time that the matter is brought to the beis din. So we'll say, remember, the common denominator between kefal and arba v'chamisha is what? Is what? They're both knasos, right? They're both knasos. At the end of the day, they're both knas. So therefore, the Gemara seems to be saying is the following. For monetary payments, for mamon payments, like Karen, that is going to be assessed at the time, that value will be locked in at the moment the object was stolen. For kefal and arba v'chamisha, which are knas payments, those values will be established at the time of the adjudication of the case, when the case is brought before Beis Din. So Mar says, okay, my time is the Rav, so we'll say, why this distinction? Amar Kra, Rav says, Gneva v'chayim. So Rav says like this, the Pasuk says, we'll say, this is the Pasuk we spent all of yesterday discussing, if he matze timatze biyadva ha-gneva, mishor ad chamor adse chayim. So again, so the Gemara, the Torah says both the word gneva and chayim in the Pasuk. Amai kam rachman chayim b'gneva. So I'll say, so I don't understand, why do I need both of these statements? In other words, once you've said gneva includes everything. Why do they need to include the word chayim? Oh, Achye lekeren kein shagan. We saw about this yesterday. Because Rav's teaching me, the pasuk's teaching me, achye lekeren, literally bring the keren back to life, like it was at the time that you stole it. In other words, so Chaim Gineva teaches me that whatever the state of the object was at the time that it was stolen, then Lamaisa, again, the Ganov, is obligated to pay the Karen, the principal, according to that value. So Karen, according to Rav, Karen is going to be locked in at the time of the theft. Amar Rav Sheshes. So listen to this, Rabbi Osei. This is amazing. Rav Sheshes says, Amina, kinayim v'shochiv Rav Amar l'hashmaita. I'm pretty sure Rav was half asleep when he said this, right? So Moshe says, Rav Sheshes, in other words, that's a nice way of saying, I would like to politely disagree, right? In other words, Rav Sheshes, so we have to understand, when Rav Sheshes, you know, in general, when we hear a statement like this, we wonder to ourselves, like, what a strange way of interaction. So Moshe, so understand that when it comes, Gemara is all about the Milchama for Amita Shel Torah. It's all about the quest and the Muhammad, the war for MS. And when there's the possibility that something other than MS is espoused, sometimes the reaction is quick, decisive, and swift. So here you have Rav Sheshes saying, Rav, how can you be so irresponsible to say such a thing like that? Meaning what you're saying is so profoundly wrong that you could only have said it when you were half asleep. So the Imrosa, remember, understand also. So the other piece is, Tarsha Baal Peh, remember once upon a time was what? Was Baal Peh, which means that when they're having these discussions in the Beis Medrash, so what happens? The Talmidim are there looking on. Now you understand what happens. What happens? Somebody hears Rav's statement, and then what happens? They go to get a cup of coffee. So they go, right? They leave the Beis Medrash to go to get the cup of coffee, and they don't hear the other part of the discussion. Rav Sheshes saying, "Oy vavoy, what could happen? What kind of churban could happen over here if somebody only gets half?" They say, "Rav, how can you be so irresponsible to say such a thing like that?" It must have been you were half asleep. So kinayim v'shachar Rav Amar l'hashmaita. This sign, because we learn, I will say. So why does Rav Sheshes object so vociferously? This sign we learn kichusha v'yeshmina. Both listen to this. Let's say I stole an animal that was very weak and I fattened it up. Now I'm the ganav. But you know, I'm a ganav that has sensitivity to animals. I'm a ganav that works for PETA, right? So I go ahead, I steal the animal, and then I fatten it up afterwards. So what happens? So we'll say, so now what happens? I go ahead, either I'm caught, or let's keep it easy. It's almost elul. I go ahead and I decide to go ahead and do tshuva, and I return the object. So we'll say, so now the shaila is, how do I pay? So the Gemara says, Mishayim tashlumi kevav v'tashlumi abra v'chamisha ke'in sheganav. So we'll say, interestingly enough, this brisa says that you pay kefel and abra v'chamisha in accordance with what? In accordance with the value at the time you stole it. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? Now, the assumption over here is if arba v'chamisha are being assessed from at the time you stole it, then what else is being assessed at the time you stole it? The pashtos karen as well. So again, the brisa clearly contradicts Rav. Rav was saying kefal and arba v'chamisha are assessed at the shas hamadas bedin, the time when the case is being brought before Beis Din, and karen is being assessed at the time that you stole. Here, tashlumi arba v'chamisha are being assessed at the time that you stole. So says the Gemara. Mishum do amrle. So Rav says, no. First of all, it's not a kasha. Mishum do amrle ana patimna va'at shakalt. Because in this case, the ganav could say, listen, I'm going to give you back the animal, but I fattened up the animal. So I paid for the fattening of the animal, and you should reap the benefit. In other words, that Rav will say, even I would agree in this case. Meaning, even Rav, who says that under normal circumstances, Arba v'chamisha and kefal are assessed at the time of the Beis Din, of the Hamada Bedin, even Rav would agree that in a case where I stole a lean animal and I fattened it up, that Arba v'chamisha and kefal can't be assessed at the time that the animal is brought to the Beis Din. Why? Because I, the ganav, put in the money to fatten up that animal. So I put in the money to fatten up the animal, and I should have to pay Arba v'chamisha or kefal based on that. That's illogical. But under normal circumstances, Rav would say Arba v'chamisha and kefal are assessed at the time of the adjudication of the case, versus Karen, that value is locked in at the time that the animal was stolen. Tashma, so we're not finished. Tashma, Shemina ve'achisha. So let's go to the reverse case. Animal was fat, and then the animal became lean after it was stolen. The Rabbi will say, now, what? How did it become lean? So Rashi points out, the last white line of Rashi, last word on the line, ve'achisha, so Rashi says, Hagano ve'achisha, be'adayim b'torach malacha o b'makel. So we'll say, this is talking about a case where what? where not that the animal lost weight on its own, but lamaisa, because the owner mistreated it. Either, when I say the owner, I mean the ganav, right? The ganav mistreated it. Either he worked it too hard, he hit it, whatever it is. The point is that it diminished in its size. So the Gemara says, Tashma shmini ve'echisha, mishayim tashlumi kefal, v'tashlumi arba v'chamisha, ke'ein shaganav. So also, what does the Braisa say? We go ahead and we pay arba v'chamisha and kefal in accordance with its value at the time that it's stolen. So we'll say, so again, remember this contradicts Rav, because Rav said that when you assess tashlumi, you assess kefel and arba v'chamisha when b'shas hamadas bedin, and yet here the price is saying that you assess arba v'chamisha and kefel like the value of it was time that it was stolen. To which the Gemara says again, Rav would say hasam nam mishum damin alei malik talakula malik talapalgus. We'll say this is actually a very interesting phrase which we're going to spend some time discussing. Rav would say, because at that moment the owner could say, what does it matter if you kill my animal all at once or if you kill my animal a little bit at a time? In other words, interestingly enough, Rav would say that the act of mistreating of the animal that apparently ultimately leads to its death is by definition the very beginning of killing the animal. Therefore, again, essentially, one could posit that the death of the animal begins at the moment that the thief stole it, and therefore its value is locked in at that time. Rashi says, Malik talapalga, hilchach, me'ahi shaita dachasha aschala latvicha. From the moment, ultimately, again, that you stole it, that's when we consider like the slaughtering has begun. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, it's a fascinating idea. So therefore, obviously, this answer only works in a case of arba v'chamisha, but that's what he's positing. Ki ka'amar rav, biyukra b'zula. So we'll say, so here's the shayla. So now, every case we bring up, Rav says to us, you're right, that case is an exception. Okay, so Rav, which case were you talking about? Meaning when you espouse the rule that Karen is locked in at the Shaskineva, the value of Karen, the value of the principal, is locked in at the time that you stole the object. Arba v'chamish and kefal are assessed when? B'shas hamoda bedin. So tell me, what is your case? So kika amarav, biyukra v'zulahu. So we'll say, so says Rav, I'll tell you why there's so much confusion. Because up until now, you've been bringing against me cases of where the animal was fat and became lean, or the animal was lean and became fat. This has nothing to do with the girth of the animal, says Rav. What this has to do with is what? Is value. Is value. Same cow. But what happens if Lamaisa, again, I steal the cow? It's worth $1,000. And then ultimately, again, at the time of Hamada Bedin, at the time when I brought to the Beis Din, ultimately it goes down in value. Not because the cow became any thinner. It's mamish the same exact cow. It's just the cattle market has changed. And therefore, Lamaisa, again, it's only worth $500. So, ki kamarab biyukra, when I stole it, when it was expensive, the zula. And then ultimately, at the time when I brought before Beis Din, to go ahead and adjudicate the case, it has gone down in price. So who did Ka'amar? So what's the case? Hechidami. So it says, well, what's the case? Well, so you understand, by the way, these sugyas are riveting, because this mamish is like exception to the maisa. This happens all the time. Rarely do you go ahead and what? Do you steal an object? I mean, hopefully rarely do you steal an object, right? Right? Semicolon. And then, right, and ultimately, again, the item has the same value. I always say, I steal Ruvain's car. So you know every mile you drive your car, right, so the car depreciates. So again, so how do you account for this? So the object is there. The object is there, but lamaisa, the value is different. So I will say, so understand, under normal circumstances, where kefal and arba v'chamisha don't apply, so the answer is simple. What's the answer? You give back the object. In other words, so we'll say this two simple answers. If the object is still in existence, I just give back the object. Now, again, do I have to pay for wear and tear on the object? So that we'll discuss. Where the object is in existence, I pay for the object. Where the object is not in existence, I pay for the Karen, as it was at the sounds according to Rav, I pay for the Karen at the Shaskaneva. We'll say, but again, the big shah that we're going to get into, I'm just giving you like coming attractions just to whet your Talmudic appetite a little bit. So what's amazing about this is the big question that's going to come up also is, well, what happens when replacement value is not the same? You know, you take something from someone, you give them the Karen at the time that you stole it according to Rav, but to now repurchase the item is going to be more money. So we'll discuss that as well. So it says the Gemara. So what is Rav's case? Kikam Rav biyukra v'zula. Rav's case, Rabbi says, where the item was expensive and then it got less expensive. It went down in value. Who dikamar? So what's the case? Hechidami ilay b'dimi kara shaviyah zuzi. So shaviyah dal zuzi. If you want to say that in the beginning, it was worth a zuz. and at the end it was worth 4 zuzim. So keren shkein shaganov. So the Gemara says, would you pay the keren in accordance with the time that you stole it? So the Gemara says, lema pliga derab aderab. So we'll say, so let's analyze this. So if you want to say that you stole an object that was worth a zuz, and at the end of the day, it appreciated, and it became dalet zuzim. So now you're telling me that when I pay keren, I have to pay in accordance with, I have to pay in accordance with the value of the time that I stole it. If that's Rav Shita, then Rav is arguing on Rabba. Because what does Rabba say? The Amar Rabba, hi man de gazel chavisa de chamra mechavre. People say, if I stole a barrel of wine from my friend, meikara shavya zuza, when I stole it, it was worth a zuz. Ulubasov shavya dalet zuzi. And what happens about say? It calls it at the end. At the end means, again, when I'm going to settle up because I stole the object, it was worth 4 zuzim. So we'll say, so what's talocha? So tavra, oshasya. So we'll say, if I broke the barrel, or I drank the barrel, mishalim dalet, I have to pay 4 zuzim. So we'll say, here the Gemara says that if I actively destroyed the barrel of wine, either by drinking it, or by just breaking it, I have to pay dalet zuzim. I have to pay the current value of the wine. It bar memela mishalim zuza. Interestingly enough, if the barrel broke by itself, then what? Then I only have to pay a zuz. So we'll say, see, here you have Rabba going ahead and arguing on Rabba. Because according to Rabba, how are you assessing Karen? You're assessing Karen again at the present value of the item. Not kimo shaskineva, like not locked in at the time at which it was stolen. So we'll say, so just as an aside, we're not going to get into it now, but Rashi explains over here with this distinction ultimately again between valuating between when I drink the item or when I actively smash it versus when it breaks. When I drink the item or when I break the barrel, I'm actively acquiring that item. I actively acquire it at the moment that I drink it. So since at the moment that I drink it, it's what? It's worth 4 zuzim. Therefore, again, that's the money that I'm liable ultimately to the owner of the barrel. Masha'inke, when the barrel just breaks by itself, I didn't do anything, then Lamaisa, there's no new act of gezel. The act of gezel is the same act of gezel that I committed when it was worth 1 zuz. Therefore, my liability is locked in at 1 zuz. The point of Osai is that Rav is contradicting Rabba, because Rav wanted to say that the value of Keren is locked in at the time that the item was stolen, but yet Rabba is saying, no, not necessarily. If you actively, quote-unquote, destroy the item, even through consumption or through just through active breakage, lemaisa again, the value of the Keren will be assessed at the time of the consumption or breakage. Ki ka'amarav, so we're just struggling to figure out what is Rav's case? Meaning, what is the case where Rav said that we assess Keren at the time of the Gneva and Arba v'chamisha and Kefal at the time of Ha'amada B'din? Ki kam Rav, ki go de meikar shav yedal lebasov shav yezuza. Oh, we'll say Rav's case is where what? It was originally worth, let's say the item that was stolen, was originally worth dalet zuz, and then it depreciated, went down in value, so now it's worth a zuz. Keren shikain shaganav. So we'll say when you pay Keren, so the value of Keren will be locked in at the time the item was stolen, namely at dalet zuzim. Tashlumi keva v'tashlumi arba v'chamisha b'shas hakishas ha'amad abedin. So we'll say, but kefel and arba v'chamisha will be assessed, they will be evaluated at the time that you are brought to Beis Din. So Tani Rabbi Chanina l'siri l'Rav. So we'll say Rabbi Chanina brought a braisa to support Rav. So listen to this. Abalabas. So let's say I deposited my object with Reuven. What happens? I come to collect it from Reuven. What does Reuven say? It was stolen in the middle of the night. Then what happens? And he swears that it was stolen in the middle of the night. And then Abbas say he admits. Hoda. He admits to what? That he himself stole it. So I'll say, so now understand what's happened over here. So now he owes me what? He owes Keren. He owes Kefel. He owes a fifth, right? A one-fifth penalty, ultimately, again, for taking a full shua, plus an asham gezelas, plus a karban. So watch this. Ubo edim, so we'll say, remember, then witnesses come afterwards, after the admission, to say, we saw Reuven steal the object. So says the Gemara, says the Braisi, machelo bo edim hoda. So we'll say, if ultimately he admitted, I'm sorry, take away the kale for just a moment. If he admitted before the witnesses came, then mishalim keren v'chomesh v'asham. Then he has to pay the keren, the principal, the chomesh, which is the one-fifth penalty for false oath, and the asham gezelos. But I will say, what isn't he paying? He's not paying kefel, because why? Moda b'knas patra, because since he admitted liability, he's exempt. However, the imishabo edim hoda, but both say if Reuven only admits, his transgression. He only admits the theft after the witnesses came. Then what? Mishalim tashlum kefel va'asham v'chomsh. So okay, mishalim tashlum kefel. So mostly he has to pay kefel, and he has to pay. He has to bring an asham, asham gazelos. But watch this. V'chomsho ola lo bikfelo. However, again, his chomesh payment, the 1/5, and the kefel payment are combined. Div Rabbi Yaakov. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. If we look at Rashi, Rashi says, Mishalim kefel v'asham v'chomesh olo b'socha kefel, shari chomesh v'baylem hu, v'hu shekel, v'al karcha chad Rabbi Yaakov b'shavin ke'echad ha'chomesh v'akefel. Kamayas. So we'll also listen to this. So Rabbi Yaakov says that since both the kefel and the chomesh are penalty payments, ultimately that are owed to the same person, right? Reuven owes both the kefel and the chomesh to me. Therefore, again, the kefil and the chomesh payments combine as one, meaning you don't have to pay the same payment once. Now, Rashi's pointing out, this is a very specific case, and we'll discuss this in just a moment, when the kefil and the chomesh are the exact same value. When the now, again, I will say, at first glance, that sounds like impossible, but we'll discuss how it's actually possible. When the kefil and the chomesh are the same payment, so ultimately, you don't have to pay them both, but rather, one payment suffices for both. The idea is, both Chomesh and Kefal are penalty payments to the owner. What Rabbi Yaakov seems to be saying is, you can't be liable for multiple penalty payments for the same person. Therefore, in a case where the Chomesh and the Kefal are the same value, you'll pay one payment, which will have both identities to the owner of the object. That's Rabbi Yaakov. So we'll say, turn the page. Therefore, again, so this case, which is the case we're going to be focusing on, this is the case ultimately again. Well, actually, it doesn't really matter. It does matter. This Lemaisa again, if I go ahead and I'm paying, so in the case where I'm paying Kefel, Asham, Chomesh, Karen, so as long as the Kefel and the Chomesh are the same value, one payment will suffice. Fine. Amud Beis. Chachamim on the Chum say, Birosho v'chamishaso. The Chamishiso, excuse me. So we'll say the Chachamim say, quoting the Pasuk over here, where the Pasuk says, Vishilam oso berosho v'chamishisav Yosef alav. So the Chum quotes this Pasuk. Where did Nabo say, berosho is a reference to principle. That means principle. And ultimately again, so berosho refers to the principle. The chamishiso refers, or chamishisav, excuse me, refers ultimately again to the 1/5 penalty payment. So says the Gemara, mamon hamishtalim berosh mosif chomesh. So we'll say, this is now the sheet of the Chachamim. The Chachamim say that mamon hamishtalim berosh. So we'll say, what that means is, when you pay principal, mosif chomesh, then ultimately again you pay a 1/5 penalty payment. Mamon she'im mishtalim berosh. But Rabbi say, when there is no principal payment, then what? Ein mosif chomesh. Then there is no need for chomesh as well. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. The chom mamon hamishtalim berosh she'inu mishtalim ela keren. So we'll say what the chom are dashing is the following. The pasuk says berosho v'chamishisav. Berosho is principal. V'chamishisav is the 1/5 penalty payment. The position of the chachamim is the penalty payment, the 1/5 penalty payment, only exists in a case where your sole liability is keren. But if you have other liabilities like kefel, then there is no 1/5 penalty payment. As we'll say, which the logic of that essentially is, according to the Chachamim, that you could only be liable one penalty payment per person. You can't have one person being liable multiple penalty payments. Therefore, barosho v'chamishisav, mamon hamishtalim barosh, when your only obligation is to pay the rosh, is to pay the principal, then mosif chomesh, then you could be chayiv for chomesh. Mamon she'in mishtalim barosh, but ultimately, again, where you are not just liable for what? Where you're not just liable for principal, but you're also chayiv for kefel, then there is no obligation in mosif chomesh. You do not add on a chomesh. Fine. Reb Shimon Yochai says, in chomesh va'asha mishtalim b'makum sheish kefel. Reb Shimon Yochai says that what? That chomesh, the 1/5, and the asham gezelos, you are not liable for those situations where there is kefel. So also Reb Shimon Yochai is seeing a little bit of a variation of this. That where there is chomesh and where there is kefel, there's no chomesh and there's no asham. So we'll say, so again, all of this is a fundamental machlokes about the nature of one's liability in this particularly complicated case where the shomer is stealing the object, swearing that he did not steal it, swearing that it was stolen by someone else, and then admitting that he stole it, and witnesses then coming afterwards to say that they saw him stole it. So in that case, Rav Osai, all of the liabilities on the table are technically Karen, Kefel, Chomesh, Asham. And now we just have the three-way machlokes about how exactly to understand what his liability is in that particular case. So Rabbi Yaakov will say you're chayiv for everything, except that what? That if the Chomesh and the Kefal payment are the same, then Lamaisa what? Then Lamaisa, again, you don't have to pay them both. You have the Chachamim saying that no, you only pay Chomesh where you're only chayiv for Karen. But if there's a Kefal payment, there's no Chomesh. And Rav Shem Yochai goes a step further and says that Chomesh and Asham do not apply in a case where there is Kefal. Fine. So we'll say, so what does all of this have to do with us? So the Gemara says, Katani mihas, but what we do take from this is, Chomesh olalo b'kfeil divrei Rabbi Yaakov. So we'll say, so let's analyze this for just a moment. The phrase out of all of this that intrigues us most is Rabbi Yaakov's statement that if a person is chayiv for both Kefal and Chomesh, two penalty payments, that technically speaking, as long as they have the same value, one payment suffices for both. To which the Gemara says, Hechi dami. How can that happen? Ilema d'nei kara shavya dala basov shavya arba. See if you want to say in the beginning, the object was worth dalad zuzim. And then what I'm supposed to say, and then at the end it's still worth dalad zuzim. Then chomsha olalo bikfela. Then is a pasal. So we'll say if it started out with a value of 4 zuzim, and now presently has still retained the desire, it's a value of 4 zuzim. So is it possible to say that the chomesh and the old chomesh could work, the chomesh and kefal could be the same amount? Kfela arba. So let's remember again, the kefal will be 4, and they say the kefal is 4 minimum. Kefal is double the principal. So ultimately, if the principal is 4, then ultimately the kefal will be another 4. And what? V'chumsha zuza. And the chomesh will be a zuz. Right? So let's remember again, the way we go ahead and we evaluate chomesh ultimately is by adding on another fifth part. Remember we had this machlokes. If chomesh is milagav or milabar, is chomesh ultimately, again, do you calculate it from the inside, or do you go ahead and do you just add on another fifth part? So the Gemara here is passing milabar, that ultimately, again, milagav, excuse me, that ultimately, again, we go ahead and we add on a fifth part. So we'll say, if the item is worth 4 zuzim, it was worth 4 zuzim, at the time it was stolen, it's still worth 4 zuzim, so the kefal amount will be 4 zuzim, but the chomesh amount will be 1 zuz. So that obviously the two amounts are not the same. Ella lab the meikar shavi arba lovasov shavi zuzo. It must be what? That in the beginning, at the time it was stolen, the object was worth 4 zuz. Ulubasov, and the rabbi said, the shas hamada bedin, it's worth a zuz. So let's analyze this. The kfela zuzo, because the rabbi said, now what? Now the kefo will be a zuz. Because remember again, kefo we're going to say is assessed, b'shas hamada bedin. So the kefo is going to be a zuz. The chumshe zuzo. And ultimately, again, the chomesh will be a zuz as well. To which the Gemara says, "Alma keren kein sheganav tashlumei kefal tashlumei dalavei kishas hamadas b'din." So we'll say, so if that's the case, then ultimately, again, Karen is going to be established at the time that it was stolen, and kefal and tashlumei dalavei are established kishas hamada b'din. To which the Gemara says, "Amarava, no, the olam. What's the case? Demei kara shavi arba." Also, the case Rava says is where it was originally worth 4. V'hashtanami shavya arba. So we'll say, and now it's also worth 4. But 1 second, we went through that case, and we said it didn't work. But the kakashia kfela dalid b'chum sheizuza. But also, we said before that case doesn't work. Why doesn't the case work? Because we'll say, if it was worth 4 and it's now worth 4, then what? Kefal is how much? Kefal is how much? 4. And chomesh will be how much? 1. So what's the pshat? This is very interesting. Hachav mayaskinan kiyon shenishba. V'chazra v'nishba arba pamim v'hoda. So also listen to this. It's a pretty wild case. The case we got is where I left the cow with Reuven. Reuven, it was worth 4 zuzim when I gave it to him, and it's now worth 4 zuzim as well. But what happened? Reuven swore that he did not steal it. And then what? He swore again. Then he admitted that he lied. Then he swore again. And he, in other words, he swore 4 different times. So we'll say, if a person swears 4 different times, and it turns out that's what? Each of them is a shvuas shav, and he admitted it, we'll say, he's chayiv what? 4 different times. That Torah Amra, v'chamishisav. Now we'll say, interestingly enough, When it says Chamish Yisav also has a plurality to it that ultimately could refer to more than one Chumash. HaTorah Ripsa Chamishios Harbe. The Torah ultimately takes into account the possibility that a person could be Chayiv multiple Chumashes Bekaren Achas for one particular principle. So we'll say, ultimately, again, the Gemara says, so we'll say that is obviously a very obscure case, but Rav says that would be the case, I will say, where remember, we're just trying to figure out, that would be Rav Yaakov's case. So according to Rav Yaakov, I will say, if you had a situation where Lemaisa, again, the Shomer stole the object. Shomer stole the object. And, again, Lemaisa denied the fact that he stole it and swore four different times that he did not steal the object. It ultimately turned out that he lied on each of those shavuos. So there'll be, again, in a case where the animal was worth four and is worth four, each shavuos shav represents the value of a zuz. So in a case, therefore, where the animal was worth four and is now worth four, the kefa will be four zuzim, and ultimately what? The chomesh will now be technically four zuzim as well. And that would be the case where Rabbi Yaakov would say you would only have to make one payment of four zuzim to the owners, and that one payment of four zuzim would ultimately encapsulate or represent both the chomesh as well as the kefal penalty. Fine. Amar Mar. V'chom say v'rosho v'chamishisav. So let's remember, now we're going back a little bit. So the Chachamim said that you only have to pay chomesh, or I should say v'rosho v'chamishisav, you only have to pay chomesh when the only liability is for principal, is for Karen. So, but if, again, a person is obligated to pay Kefal, then there is no obligation to pay the one-fifth. So, Amar V'chom Romer, B'rosho V'chamishisav. The Pasuk says, ultimately, only when there's a Rosh, only when there's a principal payment, are you obligated to go ahead and pay the fifth. So, Mamon HaMishtalim B'rosh, Mosif Chomesh. Only principal money has the one-fifth added onto it. Mamon She'mishtalim B'rosh, but I will say, where there are payments, and additional to the principal, Ein Mosif Chomesh. You don't have to pay the fifth. So, says the Gemara, Aval Asham Maisi. But I will say, according to the Chum, even though you don't have to pay the fifth penalty for the false oath, you will have to what? You will have to bring your Asham Gazelos. So ask the Gemara, Maishna Chomesh Delo Mishalim. So we'll say, so ask the Gemara, normally, you know, the one-fifth and the Asham go hand in hand. So why is it over here that Lamaiser being Mechalik, we're distinguishing between the Asham and the fifth? So Maishna Chomesh Delo Mishalim. So why is it that we don't pay the fifth? Tichse Biroshav V'chamishisav. Because we'll say, the Pasuk says, it's only when Rosh Shav, it's only when there's just the principal payment that you have to pay the Chomesh. Asham Nami Lo Mishalim. So you should also not have to pay Asham. Why? Meaning you should not have to bring the Asham off. Why? Because it will say the next phrase is what? And the Asham offering. So just like you want to say that Chamishisav, the one fifth, is juxtaposed to Rosho, that you only have to pay the one fifth when it's Rosho, when it's the principal. So Ashamo is also juxtaposed there. And therefore, what? You should only have to bring the Asham offering when what? Rabbo say when there's a principal payment and not anything else. On the Charabanan, S Paskekra. So what's according to the Rabbanan, the word S comes to go ahead and make a distinction. So we'll say, what does that mean? Because remember, the Pasuk says, Berosho v'chamishisav Yosef alav, and then the next Pasuk says, Ve'es ashamo yavi. So the Rabbanon will say that Ve'es comes to make a break between Berosho v'chamishisav and ashamo, to teach me that in any case where I took a false oath, even if I have to pay kefal, I'm still going to have to go ahead and bring the Asham Gazelos. But Rav Shema Yochai says, Ve'es arvekra. Rav Shema Yochai says, no, the Ve'es, Rav Osei, comes to what? Comes to link Asham to Chomesh. And to say, wherever you are pater from Chomesh, you will also be pater from the Asham Gazelos. Therefore, in any case where you have to pay more than your principal, you have to pay more than Berosho, you're going to be pater not only from Chomesh, but also from what? Also from the Asham Gazelos. For Rabbanon, Amri Lecha, the Rabbanon say, Alo Lichtov Rachman Alo Vav Velo Es. So we'll say, so the Rabbanon will say the following. The Rabbanon will say, but let the Torah, if that's the case, then I don't understand why does, let the Torah not say Vav and let it not say Es. In other words, it will say, S seems to indicate to us what? That Lamaisa, again, the object, that Asham is not part of Beroshov v'chamishisav. And yet, again, the Vav, according to Shema Yochai, comes to connect them. So says Zabar, I understand, if S is there to exclude, and Vav is there to include, just leave out the word altogether. To which the Gemara says, Rab Shema Yochai, and therefore, again, Rab Shema Yochai, if you're right, if the S was not there altogether, then what? I would have thought to link the Asham ultimately again with the obligation for the Chomesh, to which the Gemara said, Rav Shema Yochai, Amar Lecha, Rav Shema Yochai would say, Es lo sagya, de lo kasav, lav suki be mamon gavoa le mamon hedyot. So Rav Shema Yochai says, no. That ultimately, again, you need the S. Why do you need the S? Because the S is there ultimately, again, to distinguish between mamon gavoa and mamon hedyot. Rav Shema say, you're only chayiv for Chomesh when you steal the money of another person. So that's another person. But if you steal something from Hegdish, there is no obligation ultimately, again, of Chomesh. Hilchach, Asa vav arvekrat. So we'll say, therefore, again, the S is necessary to distinguish. The distinguishing between mamon hedyot, between the mamon ultimately of an individual, and the mamon of hekdish. That's why the S is necessary. But lamaisa, but if the S is there, I would have thought that what? That therefore the S also creates a distinction or creates a separation between the Asham and between the Chomesh. Therefore, according to Rav Shema Yochai, the Vav comes along to link them back together and to tell you that wherever you are going to be Chayiv, ultimately again in the Chomesh, you'll be Chayiv in the Asham. But when you're not Chayiv in the Chomesh, not Chayiv in the Asham. Therefore, when are you Chayiv in the Chomesh? Only Berosh Asav. Only Berosho. Only when you're only Chayiv in principle. That's when you're Chayiv in the Chomesh, that's when you'll be Chayiv in the Asham. But if you're Chayiv in something additional than principle, like Kefel, then you won't be Chayiv in the Chomesh and you won't be according to in the Asham Gezelos, either according to the Rabbanim. All right, Rabbi Yosef, we'll stop over here for today. We'll see. Either I'll record it or we'll start. I mean, we're starting at 5:45 tomorrow, Miratz Hashem, because of Rosh Chodesh. So there's no Mitzvah Sharm tomorrow. Shir tomorrow. We'll start at 5:45, and stay tuned. Just keep your eye on the WhatsApp group. Miratz Hashem, either it'll be recorded or we'll start here from tomorrow. Shkoyach. I don't know.